This Sunday is for the War of 1812. This Sunday is for stealing all of our superhero roles. This Sunday is for all the things that make England think that they're still somehow better than America. Well, guess what? Our football is better than your football, and we're willing to prove it by sending two cruddy 1-5 teams over to play a signature marquee game to wrap up the 2024 London NFL series. That's right. It's the old sad Pats against the old sad Jags. And if anything, Andy, I can tell you for a fact, the British know this, that Jags are often overpriced and often found in the shop. But will they prove victorious for your benefit in the 2025 New England Patriots draft? Let's discuss on today's live edition of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast as we make our preview and prediction for the 9:30 a.m. Eastern time game this coming Sunday. Pats and Jags, your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here from the Six Rings postgame show and all over the dial at WEEI. And of course, the co-host with the co-most on the WEEI afternoon show, Andy Jumbo Hart. Andy, we are looking at something special Sunday. It's going to be, but if anything, look, I know you have been, when you were filling in as lead chair Wednesday on the afternoon program, you were looking for this coming Sunday and the rest of the season. You were looking for points. You were looking for pass yards. You were looking for fun. You were looking for action, and you are looking for a lot of defeats and disappointments for the diehards. Do you believe this Sunday will continue the trend of, hey, Drake may look good, but otherwise, oh boy.
I do believe that. Now, there is the possibility that they win this game. I leave the door very much open that this is a winnable football game for the Patriots. The Jaguars are not a great football team. Obviously, they have a 1-5 record for a reason. Their coach is kind of a boob, but my guess would be around the NFL.
Well, we've already gone to boob level with Gerard Mayo?
No. The Jags coach. I'm talking about the Jaguars. I'm going to need you to listen. This is a two-way conversation. When I'm talking about the Jags, the opponent.
Going on, yes. Oh, Doug Peterson. He's actually an FBB. He's a full-blown boob.
Is Gerard Mayo a full-blown boob?
Well, no.
I don't think so either, but no. I think if I were doing a podcast for Jacksonville.com, I might question whether the Patriots have a full-blown boob as a coach based on the undisciplined play and some of the things he's said and done and the way it's gone through the first 10 months of his tenure. I think that's, like, if we're going to be honest, if we're going to be objective and sort of awaken one space. Idiot and look at it from the other side, well, then you got to be like, this is
look at this. Hello, the UK our friends at the UK Patriots are currently watching live as we record our Six Rings preview podcast. Hello, boys. I wish I could be with you Saturday. I wish I could be with you Sunday.
Good day, mate.
So, Andy, they said fans traveling can drink pregame in the Green Man Pub from 9 a.m. That's not 9 a.m. Eastern time. That's 9 a.m. proper London time, which means you can get a nice 5.5-hour pregame of propers in at the Green Man. I have been to the Green Man before. I went there before and after Pat's Rams back in 2012. I had a blast. They even set up a little tent in the back. Two people brought charcoal grills and the Brits were trying to do like a tailgate. Oh, it was so sad. It was so wonderful. Oh, I had such a great time. Some guy was walking around with a basket and he was selling like clams and cockles.
What's Excuse a cockle?
It was great. I don't know. These tiny little, it was these little seafood things. I bought
some. Small cockles?
Yeah.
They don't have big cockles?
Yes. And you're bringing a lot of small cockle energy to the podcast. So let's try to pick it up. Okay. I'm with Kyle. Thank you, Kyle, for joining us today, watching on YouTube Live. We need Baker on the field this weekend. We'll get to that in a second and some of the decisions personnel-wise, because he's a pass catcher that we need to know the potential or promise of on field. And what else do you have to lose? You're the one who wants to see passes connected and also losses stacking up.
Yeah, I also don't reward lack of professionalism and work ethic and consistency and the things that I think he's struggling with right now as basically this year's Kayshon Booty. You know, Kayshon Booty has turned into a professional and a playmaker and a guy that his teammates feel like they can rely upon. Maybe Javon Baker can take a lesson from Kayshon Booty and long-term plan, you know, build up his reputation within that locker room. But why do I look happier than normal? I'm always happy. Well, what the hell do I have to be upset about?
I don't know. Somebody thought
I, brain.
I said long dong time. I did not say long dong time. It is not.
Hey, whatever.
Long dong time was last night. Did you see Shohei Ohtani's home run in the seventh inning?
Yes. Yeah.
Holy Moses.
I'm glad you clarified that as to what else might have been long dong time for you. Because I mean, in this day and age, I don't presume or assume.
Who, you know what? Here's the thing. Why judge? Just roll with it.
Don't judge anybody.
The old man mob watching live on YouTube. You can tell old Dougie P, that's Doug Peterson, knows his time is up if you watch them play the team that gave up on him and the coaching staff. Yes. Last week, I mean, you heard the postgame presser as the Pats head into this game, a 5.5-point dog, which is remarkable to me. They were talking about, you know, it wasn't about like Mayo keeps talking about, you know, like culture change here and what's happening so far shouldn't be reflective of the culture he's trying to establish. And guys like you and I are like, yeah, this has actually kind of become the norm around Foxborough, and it's unfortunate. Doug Peterson just flat out said, like, we don't have a culture. There is no culture. And that's a sad indictment of things. Like, everything.
You should call Eric Spoelstra and call the Heat, because the Heat got a culture.
You know what? Honestly, underrated coach overall. Like, Heat culture, Heat wave, Heat check. Like, that's a thing. They do a nice job with that.
Oh, Eric Spoelstra, I don't think is underrated. I think he's now considered one of the top couple coaches in the NBA. He was underrated previously because I think everybody thought he was just a inflated film guy, intern, Pat Riley production type thing. Now I think people are like, yeah, he's a really, really good basketball coach. And maybe in time, people will look at Gerard Mayo and say he's a really, really good football coach who established a culture. Because I think his culture still has a chance. Mm-hmm. I think you're right on the verge of Doug Peterson not having a shot at anything in Jacksonville. He's part of the Bill Watch. You know, as much as I'm hesitant and reticent to sort of include the Jags and Bill's potential landing spots, a lot of people think that could be a possibility. I don't love it because it's just not fun. Like, oh, Bill's joining the Jags. That feels weird. But if he was going to join the Falcons, that wasn't overly fun either. So
no, I didn't want that.
I guess the Jags might be in it. But from a Patriots perspective, to me, the story of the week is simple. Beyond my question is, do you really want them to win the game or would you rather have a draft pick? Fans have told me. They spoke loudly. I got thousands of votes and the fans are like 67% want to win the damn game. We need a win.
Yep.
A lot of fans don't seem to see the difference between the first pick and the fifth pick or a top 10 pick. And that's fine. I mean, I think there's a massive difference in my mind between, say, number one overall and 7 or 8. But
we call that the kids call that a mass diff.
Yeah, well, there's a mass diff. I got a mass diff right here for you.
Speaking of long time. You know what's going to help the Patriots? You know what's going to help the Patriots actually get off to score some points and catch these Jags with
I'll bite
32nd ranked defense. Getting off to a fast start. Just listen to Pop Douglas.
That's what it's going to start at. We're going to start fast in practice, and then we're going to have to translate it to the game. You know, start fast, get out of those three and outs.
All right, Andy, so if they want to start fast in practice, last week it was renewed energy at practice. This week it's fast starts at practice. How do they do that, and how does that translate to the field for them? Is that a Drake May issue, an All-11 issue, or an AVP issue?
All of the above. And I think the solution is a Drake May solution. And I personally think, and I said this last week, I'd be throwing from the get-go wide zone boot-type throws, some half-field-type throws, things that I think he's good at, some guns, some zone read, different looks out of that play action. I might even go tempo. You know, what do you have to lose? You've been terrible to start. So I would let him sling it. And I've told you this time and time again. I think when he is, like, in charge and running the offense and just, like, playing backyard football, I'm chucking it, I'm looking for receivers, making plays. I think that's already shown to be when he's at his best, and it might just work. And if it doesn't, I don't think it really matters. If you go three and out, well, you can go three and out by handoff pass, or you can go three and out by three straight passes, still a three and out. And also, you're not going to lose this game because you go three and out on your first possession, I don't believe. You know, you still scored
21
game
last week against a good defense when you went three and out on your first one. And on your second possession, you threw an interception.
So I don't, and this is a much worse football team with a lesser defense you're facing and a lesser offense. Now, that's not to say they can't suddenly score points on you, because looking at some of the things the Jags have done this year, they've made some big plays, both in the run game and the passing game. They've run it a little bit, and they've hit big. I like Brian Thomas a lot. He is, I think, going to be a star receiver in this league and a guy that Trevor Lawrence going to be throwing to for a long time.
Is that who we see Gonzo locking up with this week?
I would, absolutely. To me, he's the most dangerous player on the field for the Jaguars. So absolutely, I would have Gonzo on him. Gonzo, who didn't play last week, looking for a bounce back. I'll be interested to see how that matchup would go. That's a fun young matchup between two of the better young playmakers in the passing game in football.
And the Patriots secondary, it should be noted, Andy, on the injury report, could very well be stressed this week because you may not have Marcus Jones. You'll have John Jones and Gonzo. The safeties are all banged up again as well. That could mean a lot of Alex Austin time. That could mean a lot of Marco Wilson. And it could even be Marcellus Dial time. Who knows? So I wonder who the Jags have that could take advantage of those elements on the Patriots. Like, could we see a lot of underneath stuff? You're not going to see Etienne, it seems. So you Tank Bigsby.
But also Christian Kirk is a guy that is
a solid
Christian receiver Kirk for them. I'm not a huge fan. I think he's sort of a run-of-the-mill guy. But, you know, they have a few weapons. And Trevor Lawrence hasn't been terrible, not completing a high percentage of his passes. I will say one interesting aspect of their team for the year is they don't do a great job on third down. So the Patriots defense getting off the field, which has been an issue at times this year, maybe gets a feel-good moment. I will say they've sort of run the ball relatively well. The one thing I do look at, though, is the big plays, because I think the big plays, run game and pass game, we've seen this defense struggle with the big plays. If they're banged up, if there's other bodies on the field, I think that opens up more opportunities because that communication that Jerod Mayo's been talking about is challenged yet again with different guys out there. So I think that's definitely an issue to look at, is the back end of the defense, their health, the bodies that are out there. The flip side is you can score some points on the Jags. You can make plays on the Jags. Look at the opposing quarterbacks. I don't know if you looked at it. Basically, opposing quarterbacks have had an absolute effing field day against the – we're not doing that. We're not jagging off at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. That seems – I don't – that seems –
that's –
I feel like that's a sin on multiple levels there.
So I know. Sunday's the Lord's day. Yeah. Have mercy, children. It's a family program.
But you can throw it on the Jaguars. They are not a great pass defense. I think it's 14 touchdowns and one interception they have.
31st pass – so they're like – so they have the 31st overall defense, 32nd in pass, and like 14th in
run. Based on yards, right?
Yeah. So you can you can't really run on them, but you can obviously run if the pass is working well. But you can throw all day against them.
They're giving up more than 4 yards a carry, so I think you can run on them. But you can definitely pass with ease on them. Opposing quarterbacks have a 114 combined passer rating on the season, which is a really good passer rating.
That's borderline grab Drake May off the wire in fantasy and start it. Like, he should be a streaming starter on Sunday.
The one problem with that is he's a young player, and even if he plays great, there might be a turnover or two to hurt your numbers there. But no, I like Drake May to throw the
ball. Banged up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus, his knee is all banged up, according to the news on Wednesday.
Maybe. I don't know whether to trust or believe that or not trust or believe. Yeah. I mean, he's banged up because he's on the injury report. But how banged up? Do I believe that he had an MRI? Okay, maybe. Like, that'd be precautionary. If I had my franchise quarterback, I would test it and make sure I have all the information possible. Doesn't mean it's a big deal. Now, Dr. Chow watched the video, and he thinks he sees a practice field limp and a practice field swelling, and that he might have issues scrambling, and he kind of took it to the next level.
Already?
Oh, yeah. He's got the video. Now, whatever. I don't expect it to hinder Drake May, and therefore, I think Drake May is a nice over on production this week. It would. I think for the Patriots to have a shot in this game, I think Drake May is going to have a game similar to last week. I think he has to throw for 200. I think he probably has to have multiple passing touchdowns for them to be competitive in this game.
So Andrew Pollock chimes in with a couple of smart comments here on the live stream as we record the latest Six Rings. There's a limited window before teams have tape on May. Use it, let him play. Don't let AVP keep calling predictably safe calls. Let May do what he does. Don't get in his head. Let's see what we got in the kid. He continues, if they let May throw the ball, that'll open the run game. I agree with that. When every team knows they're going to start by running, runners get stood up at the line. I think this is where fans have been a little frustrated watching the games. Like, oh, good. Oh, delayed draw to Gibson. Oh, wow. you know, wide zone left to Ramondre. It's like, it's the same stuff over and over and over again. Like, I'm with you. I'm with Nathan. I'm with a lot of people that just, you know what? Get out there Sunday. It's going to be like 65, like two passes for every one run play. Just get out there. What do you got? Let the perfect, this kind of soft defense, this little seven layer dip of a defense that the Jaguars have is the perfect thing to test out your pass game and see what you have in pop, how far Booty can push it. Maybe you do play Baker, all of them.
Now, the one issue I have with running and passing is the same issue I've had since March, and that's the offensive line. I don't know what offensive line you're going to see out there. Who's where? I mean, I guess Lowe is day to day. That'd be nice, but there's also talk of maybe DeMontre Jacobs having to go back to left tackle and Onwenu having to move back out to right tackle and more changes. Right. And, you know, game seven, so you might as well have a seventh different lineup on the offensive line. Why not? It's worked so well so far this year. But that's where I would push back on Andrew Pollock. Like, all the theories, philosophies, and cliches get thrown out the window when your line blows. So it's great to say the passing game will open up the run. Not if the guys up front can't block an effing body that's in front of them. Like, it doesn't,
you still
matter.
Got Josh Allen to deal with, who's a hell of a pass rusher.
I don't care who it is. Like, anybody that lines up, if you can't block them, the run game is going to struggle. And more importantly, if Antonio Gibson doesn't trust that you're going to block him and he starts doing his little Danny Amendola two-step from Dancing with the Stars in the backfield, it's not going to work. So the same old story. I know we're sick of it. The line has to block somebody. It starts there.
Ari's burner account watching on Twitter. Do they still use yards for the London game, or do we have to hear about meters and furlongs?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That would be funny if the one caveat to the games was, all right, you can play your football here, but it has to be a 97-meter field. Yeah, but it's 100 yards. It's the same. Nope, sorry. That's how it's have to be. Good day.
That would really screw up the line markings, huh?
That would be. Could you see the chain gang like, what the fuck?
So midfield, is it really 97 meters? Is that the trend?
Because I'm just sort of doing the math on the fly, because a yard is 36 inches and a meter is 39.
But so like midfield would be this weird, not round number. It'd be like 46 and a point something meters or something like that. That would imagine the officials. They screw it up as it is. They're like,
they're already terrible.
Where's the touchback go? The 18 meter line?
Upon further review, we're not even really sure where the drop zone is on the first down.
Yeah, that would be a debacle. Those guys can barely get it with 10 yards and 100 yards and everything that they know now. Are you looking forward to this game? Like, is this a?
Can I tell you honestly? That's the last. I'm going to put it this way. Until I can bring my kids to a game this year, I'm looking forward to two games, especially this one and the Bears game. After that, they're just all a bunch of games. Honestly, like, I want to, because I feel like this is the one where we might see the Patriots offense at its best. It's a domed environment, huge, great fans, cheers, all that action, terrible defense. This is maybe when we're going to see Drake May just like grip it and rip it the best. Then the other one will be when I go to Chicago and take my kid to his first Pats road game. That'll be fun. But
this game worries me, because last week, the whole moral victory or, hey, Drake May played great. I'm concerned that you go out and suck against a sucky team. And it's like back to the Miami game where we're like, oh, my God, that was brutal. I can't get my morning back. I can't get my 9:30 to 12:30 back. That's the one benefit. The game will be over and you can go watch real football at 1 o'clock with the rest of the world, Red Zone or whatever you want to do. Of course, after you listen to the Six Rings post-game show, or at least put us on in the background.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was checking in on my plans over the weekend. I said, yeah, I got a post-game radio show to do, and I'm hosting the season ticket member party at the stadium. To which he wrote, well, there's nothing like getting a good old case of the sads out by noon. Just
true.
Like football at night. Football at 9, disappointment for lunch. How could it get much better than that? Yeah, I think it'll be honestly, like, it is going to be a fun game to watch. I love the over in this game, and let's sort of get into some of our other stuff. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you heard Gerard Mayo pulling his best Belichick describe, like, the Jags are 1-5 and just absolutely got smashed last week in London against the Bears, who scored 35 and should have probably scored more. The way Mayo went off about the Jags, it's like he was talking about playing the Chiefs 2 years ago.
not be what they wanted to be. They still have weapons all over the place. They have weapons, obviously, as on the defensive line, linebackers, and really on all three levels defensively. I'll say offensively, they also have, you know, big players over there. So we got to do a good job, you know, matching their intensity, or they have to match our intensity. And that's going to be, you know, our focus this week. And our focus also is we got to start games faster. We have to start.
Okay. So again, the impetus to start games faster. They have an awesome, we have to match their energy. No, they have to match ours. Which way are we going here with this one, Gerard?
What if nobody has any energy? What if it's just
because, like, they're all exhausted? Because the Jags are hung over from a night in the West End and pub crawling, and the Patriots still haven't gotten over the 7-hour flight over that way. You've taken the flight a couple times. It's a very, you know what it is? It's like settle in. It's a movie and a meal, a small nap, a second movie, and then you're there.
Yeah, I don't remember having any problems. Like, I adjusted relatively quickly, but I also didn't have to play an NFL football game. I just had to real world people stuff.
Right. Well, you could always, for goodness sakes, look at this. People are already, how many drops does Polk have on Sunday? Come on.
None, because when you're healthy and active, you might not get the chance to drop it.
Do you think Polk's going to be inactive?
I think there's a chance. I think if you're going to send a message, I think Gerard Mayo started the message last week when he said the blocking. When he brought up Polk's blocking, it wasn't just about the drops. It was about blocking, which blocking is effort. Blocking is being a team player. So Polk can pop off in the media all he wants. By the way, going down very quickly a road of one of my least likable players on this team, STFU.
Jalen Polk response? Yeah.
I don't know who the F he thinks he is, but he's an annoying player on this team, for my opinion. Like, early in the year, if you don't like us now, don't like us when we're winning. That won't be a problem, because I don't know when you're going to be winning, and you have the best hands
on the NFL. Maybe he'll have a Jaren Duran turnaround.
That's possible. It would be, that's a one of one, in my opinion. The Jaren Duran turnaround is like a one of one. I've never seen anything like it. So expecting two in the same city. I think it's more likely that Jalen Polk is not on this team in 2 years because he's a dink.
Oh, come on. No, that's not going to be the case. Come on, give him a – he's just got a little – he's got the jitters. The whole offense is out of sorts. I think
so work harder.
Okay, well, they're going to have to, obviously. I mean
– you don't have to be in
I would say right now there's no – the only person on this offense, I will tell you, there's two people on this offense right now I think you can depend on going forward that would even most definitely be on the team next year, let alone integral pieces of the whole entire operation. And that would be Pop and May. After that, every job is up for grabs.
And Stevenson. I think Stevenson's a part of the long haul. And on Wenu. And there's a couple others. But yeah, beyond that, I'll tell you, I keep going back to Polk and Baker. You guys want to know what to do to turn around a bad start? I don't know. Nuzzle up to Kayshon Booty, because I think Kayshon Booty has matured. And just listen to Pop Douglas talk about his work ethic and observing him as a teammate. I think Kayshon Booty has gone from not getting it to trying to get it in a year. So these guys might want to follow him around.
Yeah, Booty wants to get it. You set it up. I just finished.
Stick with Booty.
You served it up. I just slammed it home. I will. Last question before we get to our predictions.
Hurry up. I got a radio show to do.
Yeah. Okay, I know. Everyone knows the Jags are a 5.5-point favorite, over and under 42.5. Last question would be, did you like it when Kayshon Booty said earlier this week he thinks the play calling needs to be more aggressive? Wouldn't that qualify as sort of like getting out of your lane or stepping on the coach's toes?
Truth is never mean.
Well, that's just one man's opinion. No, truth is never
the
truth. Mean.
The offense needs to be more aggressive.
That's an opinion.
It needs to be more aggressive. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. I've watched this team through 6 weeks. It's a fact that the offensive coordinator needs to do a better job, and it's a fact that the offense needs to be more aggressive. They are embarrassingly simplistic and afraid to lose. How about you try to win? The biggest takeaway I had from yesterday's show equals Pop and Booty. I like Pop and Booty.
I like that. Pop and Booty, baby. There we go. Nice job, delusional.
Biggest takeaway I had yesterday from the WEEI afternoon show and our favorite guest, Mike Giardi, saying he believes there's approximately a 40% chance that Alex Van Pelt will be back in 2025
as the offensive
coordinator. Yes. And Mike Giardi, despite what people may want to think, is not a bomb thrower. He's very informed, very tight end, lots of sources, great feel for the team. It was much, that was a much lower number than I expected. So it really surprised me because I think it's probably like 60-40 he stays right now. For him to say below 50-50, I'm with Booty. You got a quarterback that can sling it. He's at his best when he slings it. You got some receivers that want to make plays. Be more aggressive. Be creative. Be an offensive coordinator. That's your job, is to make plays and take your talent and make it work. And right now, I think a more aggressive style would make it work. And what do you got to lose? You're already losing games. So what are you going to lose the game because you were a little more aggressive offensively? No, you haven't been aggressive. You weren't aggressive enough in a lot of different scenarios, and it's cost you. So flip the script.
Couldn't agree more, my man. Just let the record show that you are with Booty. All right.
Always.
Let's get your prediction. Once again, it is a 5.5-point spread. I do not understand how and why the Jags are that's just the greatest insult of all. The disrespect card should be played. How did you just make hearts appear over your head?
What?
You just did something and like random hearts appeared over your head.
I went like this for some reason.
You made like a heart emoji. Oh, wait, there's something crazy going on with this program. As we're running this thing live. I know if you're listening to the pod, you're like, the hell are you guys talking about? Go back and watch the YouTube. All right.
Okay.
It's getting like AI predictive. So who knows? All bets are off going forward. All right.
Heart, Andy.
What do you got?
I think the Patriots will be in this game. I'm going to take the points. I think Drake May will make some plays, which everybody wants to see. I think he'll probably make some mistakes. I don't know if they'll start faster. I don't know what the lineup's going to be because Jerod Mayo has threatened changes and threatened starting lineup changes and all that. I think it's Polk. I think Christian Ellis is probably going to start on defense. So there's a lot going on. There's injuries for both teams that could be a consideration. I think the Patriots will give up big plays. Give me a Brian Thomas over on like 30-yard catch. But give me the Patriots over on a 30-yard catch from Drake May. In the end, I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence gets it done. I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence. I think the spread is in large part they didn't have to travel. They've been over there. Patriots have to travel. I think that's baked into this spread a little bit.
8.5 points. Wow.
It's a lot. But I'm going to go Jags 20, Patriots 17.
See, I don't like that. That's an under. No one wants to see that. That's a snooze.
I think it's too bad. As Kendrick Bourne said, it's two bad teams playing bad football. So what are you expecting?
But shouldn't that be a good time?
Well, it can be
like this could be like a bum fight.
It could be a bum fight. It absolutely could be a bum fight.
All right. I say I'm with a lot of our texters and our viewers who have been watching this latest Six Rings podcast live. I think they're going to take the shackles off. I say AVP does us all a huge favor and gets the F out of the way. Just schoolyard it with Drake. Green grass, get open. Come back to your quarterback. Make it happen, Captain. I say he attempts multiple long passes on the day. You guys are going to have guys like Pop work in the middle. Polk over 40 yards, somebody put in the chat. Lock it in. It's plus 325 right now. That'll help pay your mortgage at Christmas and turn the furnace on a little early because it's getting colder by the day, and Andy and I are still fighting the good fight. I like the Patriots to win this one. I like Pat's money line and the over. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and we'll see how this shakes out on the Six Rings postgame show Sunday, live immediately after Pat's at Jags on WEEI. I got Patriots 27, Jags 24. Patriots 27, Jaguars 24.
Homer.
Nah, I think they're going to score a lot. They scored 21 against Houston. Why would they regress against an inferior defense? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Because the rookie quarterback has a little bit of a week two kind of step back. I think that's very possible and very likely and very common.
All right, let's see. Here we go. Gonzo's going to get a pick six. See, the fans are expecting a big bounce back game. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, where would you rank him in terms of the great disappointments of the 2024 season and or inexplicable regressions? Because I don't think a lot of people saw it coming this bad.
Well, he's not terrible. He's a mediocre quarterback who people thought was going to be a generational talent, and he's paid like a elite quarterback, and that's the problem. He's in that mucky middle of NFL quarterbacks that I think with the right team around him and the right coaching could have one of those years where you're like, oh, he's a top 10 quarterback. And then there's other years you're like, is he even a top 20 quarterback? Is he right on the cusp of that? So That tells you he's not that good. He's not a bust. He's not what he was supposed to be. He's like one of those NBA max contract guys that you're like, well, we had to give it to him. But
yeah, why'd you get a max contract?
Not really that good, and might look to trade him in a couple years. So
he's not Paul. Is he Paul? Is he the Paul George of quarterbacks?
Oh, he's not as good as Paul George because he hasn't broken his leg yet and had the health issues and all.
Who's the guy that went from Washington to Phoenix last year?
Bradley Beal?
He could be the Bradley Beal of quarterbacks.
I think Bradley Beal is probably better, but yeah, and we'll see. Cause I think he's also a guy that could get hot at some point. And then you're like, oh, here's Trevor Lawrence for a 3-week stretch, but he's not what he was supposed to be. And I don't think he's ever going to be what he was supposed to be.
Kind of a very curious case for the Patriots to look at as well, because there's a quarterback that comes in, can move, good, strong arm, supposedly an offensive minded coach that's great at being a QB whisperer, and then things fall apart. Is it the infrastructure? Is it the culture? Is it the surrounding talent? We will pay attention on Sunday and find out. Oh, my God. Trevor Lawrence, the biggest disappointment since the Dukakis president run. All right. That's the only way you can weave politics into this program. And we'll end on that high note. Once again, Six Rings postgame show live Sunday, 12:30 to 3:30 on WEEI. Andy's live the next 2 days, 2 to 6. I'll be with you guys tonight, 6 to 7:30 on WEEI. With Shime Time, we'll probably put a couple other propositionals and wagers up there as always. Good times to be had. And we thank you guys for watching live, listening, and telling your friends about the best Pats fan community going. For Hart, for Hart's dog that is currently in the background, for my dog that's laying at my feet, he is at Jumbo Hart. And you can hear him on the afternoon show. I'm your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Maybe I'll see some of you down the stadium on Sunday as well. Thanks for listening and watching. Good day. God bless. Let's go Patriots. And as all, yeah, actually, no, that's the way it's supposed to end. And as always, let's go Patriots. All right, we're done here. Bye.